the pew in front of you, unless you're in the attic today, there's a hymnal. I'd like you to turn to page 322 in your hymnal. We're going to use this in a bit. Page 322. It's about the place in the hymnal where the Athanasian Creed is. No, we're not saying that today. But we are going to do a bit of small catechism work. If you're upstairs, there's a rack at the exits there where you can fetch some hymnals, or you can just follow along as I read here in a bit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, dear ones, may the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Pastor Eden asked our children, what's the first thing you would do with your cookie? What a dumb question, Pastor Eden. It's a cookie. I'm going to eat it. And then finally somebody said, we'd say thank you. But that was like the fourth choice. And I thought, how American, right? One, two, three. Oh, yes, yes, yes. By the way, thank you for the cookie. But after I've already eaten it all, and it's still mostly in my mouth. You and I live in a time, there's a dearth of thankfulness. Dearth simply meaning there hardly isn't any. Just as you and I are in a dearth for rain, we are in a dearth for thankfulness. The door held open for some Yankee who just doesn't acknowledge your effort at all. A child screaming that they want, demanding something more and something new. A boss who receives excellent work and never even bothers noticing it was excellent work. A relative who ignores an invitation without even acknowledging your effort to love them. A neighbor who, after you've taken their FedEx delivery, doesn't even bother texting you, T-Y. By the way, how hard is that? I don't mean to be verbose. But you and I live in a time where thankfulness is lost. I blame Chick-fil-A. Right, we used to have a rhythm for thankfulness. I would say thank you to you, and you would say, that is proper. You go to Chick-fil-A and say thank you, and they say, as if somehow or another, you being thankful is no big deal anymore. It's not just chicken, folks. It's heresy. Oh, come on. I worked on that joke all week long. Go eat Chick-fil-A today. I'm fine. That you get. Acknowledging the Lord with thanksgiving and acknowledging, as Luther calls them, the neighbor with thanksgiving is so much a part of the Christian ethos, it is simply expected of you and I. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Jesus entered the village, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, and they lifted up their voices, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, responding, go and show yourselves to the priests. Kind of weird, but okay. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then, verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And Luke says he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Jesus said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." We are in the midst of a time of study that is the Bible's approach to money, the Bible's approach to our stuff, the Bible's approach to wealth and those kinds of things. 3 weeks ago, we reminded one another that you and I are managers. We are not owners. What you and I have is God's gifts to us. We manage it for Him. As soon as you and I start acting like owners, we forget our blessings. 2 weeks ago, we reminded ourselves that luxury promises what it cannot deliver. And the idea of a Christian living in luxury, or the idea of a Christian choosing luxurious things as if those were going to make them happy, is antithetical to the Scriptures. When you and I have more than we need, the Scriptures calls us not to upgrade, but the Scripture calls us to share. Last week, our Lord Jesus reminded us that we are servants, called to the Lord's work, called in the Lord's house, not just this house, but our own house where we serve Him. And today we address another one of these odd texts. Pastor, what is odd? So much. Now remember, Jesus is coming from the far north. He is going south toward Jerusalem. Galilee, which was Jesus' own home area, Samaria was just north of Galilee. Think of it as Texas counties. That's about how big these places were. The Romans had divided their whole entire empire out into provinces, and both Samaria and Galilee were kind of minor Roman provinces, like Vermont and New Hampshire, things you never think about, right? Well, you're a tough crowd today. This makes me wonder if you might have had a little too much celebration last night. The thing about it is, this is Jesus' last trip south. You see, in a couple chapters, our Lord Jesus, we find Him on Palm Sunday. Our Lord, traveling south from His home area, is going to Jerusalem as well. His heart is set there because Good Friday is coming, His crucifixion is coming, His death is coming, His burial in the garden tomb is coming, and His resurrection is at hand. And so our Lord Jesus is making this last trip south with His disciples. And He comes to this border area between these two Roman provinces. And He finds Himself face to face, at least at 100 steps away, with a leper colony, 10 people. And they cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Remember, leprosy in the Scripture could be all manner of skin diseases. But whatever it was, these people were separated, legally separated from the rest of society. They had to live as exiles, as outcasts. The scriptural word that comes up so often with leprosy is unclean. But they noticed Jesus. Our Lord, by this time, after 3 years of ministry, is the most famous person in Palestine. Perhaps you could argue the most famous person in the world. And here, our Lord Jesus comes, and the lepers, seeing Him, cry out in hopes of gaining His attention. And did you notice their cry? It's simple. Have mercy. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy on us. And it's interesting, because Jesus doesn't say, "Be healed." He doesn't say, "Ooh, your lepers, go away." He simply says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." What an odd direction. the priests. Why? Remember, in all of biblical times, from the Old Testament into the New Testament, the priests in Jerusalem also served as the health officers. They were the ones who examined you to see if you were leprous. By the way, if this happens again, that's you, not me. Pastor Bard, you're making this up. I am not. If you had a certain kind of sore on your body, you went to show the priest, he declared you fine or leprous. If it was healed, he declared you well or continuously leprous. All of these people, save one of them, had been to the priests already. All of them had been cast out, chased out of the temple for their contagious disease. Jesus doesn't say, be healed. He simply says, go show yourselves to the ones who can declare you whole. And so they go. Simply to be re-examined, they go. And this is the only time in all the Gospels where Jesus heals people who are leaving him, who are going, literally going away from him as he has directed. And this is all very cool until we find ourselves surprised with Jesus. Jesus isn't surprised very often in the Scriptures, is he? In fact, I think you can count on one hand the numbers of times our Lord shows any kind of shock or any kind of being startled. He is here because of who comes back. I love that in your children's time because you said 10 people were healed, and then you looked at the kids and said, how many of these people came back? And the first answer was 10. Our 4-year-olds understand this. Our 6-year-olds got this. 10 people healed. 10 returned to give thanks, right? Only one comes back. And this surprises even Jesus. Thankfulness is an interesting thing. With regard to money, you and I draw a very simple conclusion. If we are not thankful for what we already have, why on earth would God give us more? But Pastor Bard, I don't have very much. When you compare yourself to the person down the hallway, or the person down the road, perhaps that is true. When you compare yourself historically to any other American, you have great wealth. Dear ones, we are not that far distanced from Americans who did not have indoor plumbing. Thank God for indoor plumbing. If you're a Baptist, I'd ask for an amen. But you are Lutheran, so we will sit quietly with our arms folded, and remember the stories our grandparents told us, and quietly give thanks for the wealth that even the poorest of us enjoys. And yet, how often are we thankful even for the little bit that we have? You would think thanksgiving would be listed with the fruits of the Spirit, but the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians doesn't list thanksgiving. Why is that? The only conclusion I can dig out of the Scriptures is that it is so part of our Christian being that it just is. The Lord expects thanksgiving from us because it is the proper response. Thanksgiving is the proper response for you and I receiving what we did not earn and what we do not deserve and what there is no way, no other way we could get it, which is what you have in Jesus Christ. You and I don't earn Jesus. The forgiveness that he brings us, we do not deserve. And his death on the cross, which brings us salvation, there's no other way we could get that. What's the proper response when someone gives you something you can't otherwise acquire? T-Y. Thank you. Your hymnal's open, right? Yes? Page 322, the right-hand column. Martin Luther breaks down the Apostles' Creed into what he calls articles, or at least the English translation of the German is articles. And I want you to notice, this is our history. 520 years or so of studying this to understand. And I want you to notice the response here. What we're going to do is we're going to read, right? And if you don't like reading out loud, that's fine. Read along. I will read, and my hope is that many of you will join in, if we could together. We're going to read the first article, but we start with the heading, The Creed. As the head of the family, you just join in anytime, as the head of the family should teach it in a simple way to his household. The first article, creation. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. The next to the last line, if you'd look at that again. For all this. For all of this. It is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey. I think this is why the Apostle Paul doesn't list thankfulness as one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's understood that you and I will simply be thankful people. And how hard is it? Thankfulness takes very little time. It costs us nothing in the effort. It works wonders in our relationship when you look at someone and thank them for the sacrifice they have made for you. It's such a godly thing, which begs the question, then why do you and I struggle with thankfulness? Pastor Bard, you said it was Chick-fil-A. It's not just Chick-fil-A. Sometimes, because we are Americans, we have fallen into the trap where we deserve, or we believe we deserve so very much. And when you and I believe we deserve so very much, why on earth would we be thankful? Oftentimes, thankfulness is birthed out of not having something. Thankfulness is birthed when you and I need something we can't get. It comes out of lack. And yet you and I enjoy such a superabundance of everything. Thankfulness becomes a challenge for us. Sometimes I believe we are ignorant about how the rest of the world lives. Have you had a hot shower recently? You smelled pretty good when I walked in today. That makes you one of 5% of the entire world. When was the last time you thanked God for a hot shower? That only happens every 10 years when your dad replaces the hot water heater and you had to take a cold one the night before. Maybe it's personal pride. Personal pride says to us, there's no reason to be thankful given the same amount of time and a little bit of energy and a little bit of effort. You could have done this all yourself. There's no reason to humble yourself and look at that brother or sister and thank them for what they've given. But again here, there's no place for unthankfulness. You and I are overwhelmed by God's gifts. The gift of Jesus Christ. The gift of the forgiveness of sins. The gift of His resurrection, which promises you and I eternal life with Him forever. So often we are focused on what we don't have in this world. It is so much better, dear ones, to lift up your eyes and see what is coming to us in heaven. God's grace, God's mercy, God's sacrifice, the gift of salvation, the gift of grace through faith. And without all of this, you and I are lost and condemned sinners, bound for eternal damnation. What a wonderful thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Remember Jesus and this leper colony, or former leper colony, if you will, are traveling the same road. They're all now going south. We assume that the former lepers outran Jesus and his entourage because, I mean, think, as soon as they are declared whole, they can go home. They can go back to work. They can go back to caring for their family. They can go back to all the blessings of normal life. And they are so excited to just be declared whole by the priests again. Except one of them, a Samaritan. You see, the Samaritan recognizes something. He's not welcome in the temple. He was never declared leprous by the priests in the first place. He was thrown out of his town, probably by his town elders. If he goes to the temple, he's going to be chased out with a whip. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They were not welcome in the temple. And so what does the Samaritan do? He does the only logical, reasonable, honorable thing. He runs back to Jesus. And Jesus is surprised, isn't he? Shocked. Not that this Samaritan came back, I mean, other than the fact that Jesus calls him a foreigner. But Jesus is surprised. Where are the other? The disciples are really good at acting dumb because sometimes, let's be honest, they're a little thick-headed. We don't know, Jesus, where they are. But this man realized there was nothing else he could do. But go back and thank Jesus. Dear ones, you want to understand money? So much of how God blesses us is scripturally based on what we do with our money, but it is also blessed on our but it's also based on our attitudes toward it. You and I would not give an unthankful child more. What do we call a child who is unthankful and has been given more and more and more? Or in East Texas, spoilt. The Lord will not spoil us. He calls us to open our eyes to see all His great gifts. He calls us to humility, to thankfulness for His Son. His grace, His peace, His mercy be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.